The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Two sleeps away, just two more sleeps.
For you, one more for me.
One more for you? Let's go. It's the NFL Draft Show, of course, the Dallas Cowboys Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite. Zach Wolchuk alongside Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison. As we get ready, this is such a great week. All the excitement, all the hard work, the buildup. It's here, and I do want to ask a couple of questions here. We'll get to Twitter on the 20 coming up on the other side, but Brian, you brought up a question that I do think is interesting. We've talked a lot about the Cowboys moving back in this draft. What about the possibility, because I think we know the Cowboys want offensive line. That's kind of what they're hunting here. About a team behind the Cowboys moving up ahead of them. Is there a team that you're fearful of? Is there a player, if they were to slide, that you're fearful of, oh my gosh, we might need to worry about this? Because I think we've seen this happen in previous drafts before where teams kind of know, you know, the personnel departments. Brian, you know that better than anybody. You know kind of what other teams are looking at and eyeing. Maybe Kansas City, we've kind of looked at them as a team that really wants a wide receiver. Could they actually be in the offensive line market? Are they a team that could maybe move ahead of you? Is there anybody that's scaring you from a Cowboys standpoint at 24? They just hold, they sit, they're waiting for a J.C. Latham or a Graham Barton or one of these offensive linemen we've talked about to slide.
By the way, I had a general manager this morning tell me that Latham ain't there.
I don't think he's there.
People are liking Latham more.
I was kind of going through some names, and you know, and I said, hey, what about this offensive lineman? And he goes, don't think about Latham.
A general manager, huh? Let's go, Brian.
Yeah,
that's that gang of seven.
That's what you do. That's what you get when you're really old. You get to work with guys over your all through your life. But yeah, this guy reached out to me, and I just started talking to him, and I'm like, listen, give me some idea about some of these linemen at 24. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about Latham, and he goes, don't think about Latham.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And I said, what about Barton? He says, I'm kind of on the fence of him getting to you guys at 24.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. But like I said, I did get some positive news about Powers Johnson as well. So as far as some of the medical stuff, maybe a couple of different teams have reached out. I just want to know. I don't know what this team thinks about him medically. I haven't figured that one out yet. But I know asking some teams around the league, because there were some rumors of some things that were going on there, and this guy said, we've got him as clean on that front. So we'll see what happens there. But the Latham one, and I know we talked about it yesterday. I thought you guys did a hell of a job yesterday of kind of walking us through some of these guys and some of these names. But that was one that, you know, you're hopeful about, because you were talking about the trade back situation.
Yeah.
Potentially, and you were trying to target some of the names for the Cowboys, and Latham was one of them. So that's why I brought it up. This GM said, don't think about Latham.
So Latham probably off the table there.
I have him at 18 to Cincinnati. I'd be shocked if he gets past 18, because that's just a perfect Bengal right there. Is he could play inside, he could play outside. They need both of those positions. It just kind of makes sense for him to be in Cincinnati. But hey, he's the CD Lamb of offensive tackles.
Well, I mean, we talk about runs a lot, right? And I think that you could get a run on offensive line right before the Cowboys are picking. And that's why you got to look at some of these teams like Green Bay, who's even right behind Dallas, that also might be looking for an interior offensive lineman. I think you brought up Jacksonville, Seattle, maybe they're in play for a lineman. The Rams at 19, Pittsburgh and Miami back to back there at 20 and 21. Does Philly want to go ahead and replace Jason Kelce at center? So, I mean, I think we've talked a lot about the trade back. There's teams, I think, behind Dallas that maybe want to get up. Or do the Cowboys end up in a situation where they need to be more aggressive if there's one of these players that they really, really want to go get?
As far as trading up, potentially? Yeah, that's where do you sacrifice the depth, whether that be picks next year or assets this year or picks this year? I mean, you're going to have to trade something to be able to move up. That's where I get a little bit concerned. But yeah, that would be fascinating. Like, let's say they are able to make a deal and jump up to 17 and grab Latham. That would be wild. Or grab a Fuaga if he's falling as well. But sitting there at 24, I think if you are trading back, going back to your initial question, Zach, I think teams behind them that you would be a little bit worried about. You mentioned Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I think you can make the argument that they need all three offensive line positions.
Right.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay need interior guys. Arizona, it looks like they're going to be targeting more skill guys on both sides of the ball. I think you're okay there. Same kind of situation with Buffalo and Detroit. I think they're going to be targeting skill guys or edges. Baltimore, San Francisco, Kansas City. I think you could have a run of offensive linemen there, or you could have a run of receivers. So
yeah.
there's some different opportunities there. I think San Francisco does go offensive line. So if you do move back to 32, you'd have to be okay with San Francisco taking your guy at 31.
Everybody going offensive line, huh?
Especially here in the 20s. Mm-hmm. I think once you get to 16 with Seattle, I think that's when this offensive line board really starts to fly. I think that's what I'm expecting at least. Mm-hmm.
Brian, was there a team for you?
Yeah, I think Nick hit them all. I was thinking,
sorry about that.
No, I thought, you know, anybody, and Aisha is right as well. These teams need offensive linemen, and you know, and everybody's kind of got a center earmarked to mm-hmm. Dallas or a tackle. So if the board falls a certain way, all of a sudden, say that Barton's on the board, you know, ahead of, you know, all of a sudden it looks like that Barton is going to get to Dallas, and you know that Dallas is probably going to hand that card in. Boy, if you're now worried about teams like, you know, and we've seen it. There's been teams in the last couple of years, the year before, Philadelphia targeted you on a tight end, but Dallas Goedert, if you remember, Philadelphia thought that you were going to draft Dallas yep. Goedert. They got ahead of you there.
Yep.
You know, you thought what Buffalo did last year, they thought you were going to take
Dalton
Kincaid. They jumped ahead of you there. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I think that's why Dallas is doing the best they can to kind of keep their offensive line desires as quiet as they can, because they're worried that all of a sudden if one of their guys get there and then you have somebody jump up ahead of them, and take that guy, boy, that is going to be a bitter pill to swallow for them.
I think for me, the concern is now becoming, I don't know how many of their guys are going to be there.
Yeah.
And that becomes the case where I know this team has a lot of holes to fill, and they need more picks. In the trade down scenario, hey, if it happens and they get wiped on some of those guys, that's where, you know, Captain Trade Down, right, we ride. Let's go ahead and do this thing. But I think you might end up, we might need to have more of a serious conversation about if you get, you know, a Troy Fontenot that slides down, a Fuaga that's sliding down, that Graham Barton, you might need to be aggressive and go and get your guy. Maybe it is in the late teens, or if you need to jump ahead of say, Pittsburgh at 20, who yeah. I do think is going to be looking at one of these tackles or a center as well.
The more y'all talk about it, the more I think they're just going to let the board fall.
Just ride?
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I'm starting to get really nervous about this. I am.
I am too.
I don't know that they're going to have their guys sitting there.
I am too. I mean, it's just the way that Nick said it with such pessimism. They
Which
can't.
Part?
They don't have the lot of the parts. But no, the part that you said about the fact that they don't really have the capital, or are they willing to sacrifice the capital given what people are saying that 2025 will look like?
Would you potentially for them? Would you mortgage next year's picks to go up and get, say, a Fuaga?
It also depends too, because again, the scouts do this full time, so they know. They probably have a gauge a little bit of some of the guys that are maybe coming out next year. I think it also just depends on the board, because Nick mentioned yesterday that they have a lot of comp picks.
Yeah.
You know, if that, depending on how this, because we talked about it with this draft, that some guys, we're going to look up in the fifth, fourth round, and you're going to be like, it's just the way that some of these positions are deep, that there might be some guys there that are fourth round, mm-hmm. that are actually fourth round picks, but they're there in the fifth round, whatever the case may be. So it's like, it really is just contingent on what the board is like next year, and we can't predict that.
Right.
So it's like, because you talk about the comp picks and being able to be able to mortgage them, maybe they might have value if this draft is next draft is super deep, you know, in those middle rounds.
Sure.
But if it's not, don't nobody care about that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's give and take.
I'll throw you another little caveat out there that could be something that could be problematic for you. Minnesota holds that pick currently at 23.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Minnesota's trying to move that pick.
Yeah, most definitely.
Who is going to be picking in that slot? Is that New England? You know, is that the team that all of a sudden, you know, Minnesota is doing everything in their power to move up in this board to get a quarterback.
Sure.
So now all of a sudden, that's a different, you know, Minnesota's the team, they're looking at quarterback. Oh, wait a minute, what, New England's picking now at that spot? New England could go a thousand different ways in front of you right there, especially you were talking about offensive line and stuff like that.
Yeah.
See, this is where I would be worried if I was Dallas, that who just traded in front of, who did Minnesota sell this pick to that now I have to deal with their team needs?
Well, and the two most likely, you bring up New England and then the Chargers. We know about Harbaugh. He loves his offensive linemen too.
Sure.
Yes. In my mock, I have that pick going to the Chargers and them taking Brian Thomas Jr. in that slot because they need a receiver. Also, you look at pick 22.
So you're talking about it at pick 23?
Correct. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The Chargers take Brian Thomas right there.
Yeah, 23.
Okay, that helps.
That's a good thing for you.
For Dallas,
they go ahead and get their offensive lineman at 11 in that sense. So Minnesota gives them 11 and 23 to move up to 5.
Right.
And they take this is just my mock. Taliese Fuaga at 11 and Brian Thomas Jr. at 23.
Yeah.
I think also something else you have to factor in is I don't think the Eagles are going to pick at 22. I think they get aggressive and they move up in this draft. They have a lot of capital. They have 2 second-round picks that they can move on. In my mock, I have them moving up to 12 and swapping picks with Denver and taking a corner.
Okay,
and then Denver moves back and takes Bo Nix. And I saw a mock on NFL Network earlier this week that had the same exact thing happening. So I think that's probably something to keep an eye on. I think Philadelphia could move just based on all the capital that they have. Where did they get this capital? I don't know, because it feels like they're trading picks every year, but they do a good job over there.
Do they pick up a next year's one on that trade? Or what did you have them doing?
Man, I forgot exactly what
the exact trade was. Because that's Philadelphia. Philadelphia feels like that they're a better drafting team when they have multiple ones. Well, anybody does.
We saw it last year, right?
But they feel like, you know, but the one thing that they've had these multiple ones so far, they haven't hit on these multiple ones. Those Georgia kids, you know, haven't played to the level we all kind of thought they were.
I wanted to say too, from some of the keep my ears low to the ground too, I think the Cardinals could shake up some things, because first of all, they draft a little nutty anyway. Like, they just kind of do what they want to do. When you watch how they draft, a lot of time you're just like, what was the plan here? Mm-hmm. And they are, what, at 27 from Houston?
Mm-hmm. And at 4.
And at 4. So I 100% have heard some whispers that they are thinking about doing some aggressive stuff early. But with them being at 27, I wonder if they even feel the need to, if the quarterbacks are going and stuff. Because I respectively, what has Kyle Murray showed you at this point that he's that guy? It's been how many years now? How long have you been there? 4 years?
Yeah, they've continued to invest in him and continued to say the right things about him.
And I hear that, but
I don't think they go get one here.
I hear that, but I do think that they do have the potential to do something a little wonky, maybe at that 27 spot, and do something that maybe we don't see coming. I think they are a team to keep an eye on, because they've spoken multiple times about being aggressive in this draft.
Because they're sitting right there, that 3 through 5 area, New England, Arizona, and then the LA Chargers. You talk about these teams that want to move up for the quarterbacks. Brian, you mentioned Minnesota. Maybe Denver gets in play there. Maybe Vegas is sleeping in that regard as a team that also needs a quarterback. But all those teams are open for business. Arizona moves down, maybe at the bottom of the first round. Maybe they do like a Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. Maybe they do kick the tires on something like that. I don't think it's a bad point.
Yeah. No, I just think, you know, you're at the – I mean, again, like, they can pledge allegiance to Kyle Murray all day, but it's some other stuff going on over there, so we'll see. And they crazy, so.
They are crazy. Last question I want to throw out there, because you brought up Philly trading up for a corner, which really interests me. Is corner maybe that position? Like, we've talked about runs, receiver, offensive tackle.
He mentioned it yesterday.
Could we see more corners go in this first round than we've kind of been discussing?
I feel strongly about this.
This is what I had said yesterday. I think if you're looking at 1 through 24, you're going to see a huge run of offensive linemen. But if you're looking, like, specifically at 10 through 17, I think you might see those top corners coming off the board. I have Quinyon Mitchell, Tyrion Arnold, and Nate Wiggins all going before 15. I think that's when you kind of see a mini run of corners. And then, you know, you still have Cooper DeJean. Some of you as a corner, I've used as a safety. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Why is that, Nick?
I just think he plays better in space. I think he's more of a zone guy.
It's a good political answer.
I want him more in space. I want him more in space. I want him to wide out the space, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he could be more of a return guy as well. And I think just being able to play in space more, I think that'll kind of help more as a returner as well. You don't think about those things, but I think that's something that could just kind of play into his favor. But anyway, him aside, Kool-Aid McKinstry, you could see
another
him in the first round.
TJ Tampa, I think, from Iowa State is a
guy
getting
some love.
Teams are high on.
He's
I love him too.
TJ Tampa, and then Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky is getting a lot of late steam. I think he can end up. I think he's going to end up at the top of the second round. But don't be surprised if a team swings on him in the first round as well.
Okay, we got a lot to get to. We got a little bit of a shorter show because we got a Cowboys pressure coming up. So let's step aside. When we come back, we'll do some Twitter questions, some Twitter on the 20. We'll keep the draft show rolling here. That is coming up next.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're about to get to some Twitter on the 20 here on the Draft Show, just a couple days away. Do want to remind everybody, come out to the Star in Frisco for the Cowboys Draft Weekend presented by Miller Lite. Party starts Thursday, April 25th, 6:30. You can enjoy live draft coverage, player appearances, live performances, and more. Then on Friday, come on back for draft night with alumni. We got Dallas Cowboys cheerleader appearances at the Miller Lighthouse, and you'll finish strong on Saturday with the Draft Day 5K presented by Baylor Scott and White Health. For more details, visit DallasCowboys.com/draft. And now it's time for a little Twitter on the 20. Okay. Aisha, you brought this up during the break, and we want to give the people what they want here, so we're just a couple days away. Brian, sure. There's a player at a Mississippi State cornerback, DeCamrion Richardson.
Yeah, I tell you what, I appreciate Aisha bringing his name up. 6'2", 180. Last line of my notes is I feel like you can line him up anywhere and he's going to play well. He does play both corner spots. He's going to walk down in the slot. He's got length. He's got speed. He can play man equally or zone equally well. I like him a little bit better in man coverage. The timing, the jam, when he's walked up on the receiver. There's some snaps in the LSU game where the LSU receivers ran by him, but he was able to make up the ground while the ball was in the air. His speed is there. He could be a little handsy in coverage. The mirror of the receiver due to his speed. The footwork is good. He can carry guys across the field, change of direction, the depth. As a zone player, the awareness, all these things. As you know, playing the run. He plays it well enough. He'll throw his body around at the ball carrier. He'll wrap up. LSU did get him on a double move, so you kind of see a little bit of a guy that will be a little, maybe a little guessy, handsy, guessy, all those things. But his speed is legit for making up and driving on the ball. This guy's a good football player. At 6'2", 180.
Yeah, big dude.
Probably not the heaviest guy, but man, the length and the speed is impressive.
Athletic scores. I mean, he's the top ranked corner at the combine when it comes to athletic testing. 4.3, 4.40.
Just let you know.
You got some good question people asking.
Man, that's good. Thank you, Aaron. That just kind of lets you know how like deep this cornerback
the corner stretches.
Is
look at Beamer throwing up some.
He's just that guy.
Yeah.
He's just that guy. But he was
ready for this.
Yeah. And you think about Cam Hart and some of these guys. Yeah. I mean, I think Kyrie Jackson, he's risen in people's boards.
Kyrie Jackson's a dog, man. That's an alpha right there.
This corner class is kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy as far as how deep it goes. And when you look at every one of these guys, which I watched about 30 corners.
Yeah, probably 10 more you can watch.
You find good stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're watching them and you like, this is all right, this is whatever. It's completely
boring
traits.
Yeah.
No, it's like, no, this guy really can develop. Like, what's going on? Is it a corner apocalypse?
DeCamrion Richardson is from Colon, Louisiana, which is in that Arklatex region. Mm-hmm. 690 population. So.
The Arklatex region?
Yeah.
Look at
Nick here.
It's like that little
Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana there.
It's like you got Vivian in there, you got Shreveport. It's like north of Shreveport, but like, you know, still south of the border. So.
All right, there's some DeCamrion Richardson.
You know you can't help it.
I'm good a geography player, nerd, too. Good That's player. My problem.
I got a couple of wide receiver questions that were brought up. I'm going to combine our guy Dean Julia and then Dustin Laritonda. I'm going to kind of sandwich their questions together here. Who are some of your favorite wide receivers in the 2-3 round range? And then is there any way that you think Keon Coleman could fall to 56? Dustin loves the way that he can dominate the ball, snatch it in the air, good contested catch guy. So when it comes to receivers, I mean, I'll kick it off. The guy for me, the 2-3 round range that I just love, that I think can play literally every single position, is Jalen McMillan from Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think he's smooth. He's cerebral. You watch him play, he's just got it. Runs crisp routes, can win deep, intermediate, shallow, explosive in the open field, playmaker, can win in the red zone. I don't see a lot of drops when you watch him play. And I think the creativity you could have as an offensive coordinator with him. If you want to play him at X, you can. If you want to line him up in the slot, I think he's a competitor. To me, his game translates exceptionally well to the NFL. I have no doubt he's going to be a really, really strong pro.
Yeah, Keon Coleman, I think on that note, him getting to 56, I feel like might be a little rich, but it wouldn't surprise me because I think teams that are looking for receivers, most of the teams that are looking for receivers are looking for athletic guys and guys that can win vertically. Keon Coleman, I mean, he's got the physicality to be able to win vertically, but I think most teams do want that dynamic weapon. With that being said, I think he goes somewhere in the 40s. I don't think he's necessarily there.
Doesn't make it to 56?
Yeah.
Would you consider him if he did?
Gosh.
When Keon Coleman at 56.
I don't think so. I know. I get it. But in this draft specifically, I don't think so. Especially if you're looking at Jonathan Brooks on the board and or Edgerrin Cooper, I think you'd have to take one of those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Malik Washington is a guy that people are going to find some interest in.
Virginia,
Virginia,
good
rather.
Good player, man.
But Javon Baker is another guy.
Yeah,
there's another good player.
UCF wide receiver. Very productive in his time when he was there. But he wins with running instincts and feel. He's smooth out of his releases. I think he has like a hezzy he throws out. You know,
he does.
Yeah, he's very competitive. And so when you talk about some of like what you're looking for from a wide receiver standpoint, he can do contested catches. The concentration is fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's very QB friendly because he tracks the ball like it's important to him. Like you talk about, like I said, I mentioned the effort. And so when you're talking about, you know, like maybe his size is something that people are maybe a little bit worried about. I would like for him to block a little bit better on the outside when he's needed to. But this is a guy that has vertical threat ability but also can snatch the ball at the air as well. I think he's a guy that people might be interested in as well. Alabama transfer.
Yeah, we've had people bring up like, okay, a Michael Gallup replacement or what's your comp for Baker, to me I see some Gallup with the way he's able to win along the sideline, his body control, go up and get the football. Brian, what do you think about Coleman at 56, and then what's a receiver that you like there?
I don't think he gets to you at 56.
No, I can dream.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if that happens. I'm ashamed I didn't name my son Bennett Ricky because of Ricky Pearsall, but no, I will go another route there. I'll give you a guy, though, that I really, really like that I think that people are going to, when he plays in the league, they're going to be happy that they saw him play. Roman Wilson from Michigan is a guy that I really like. And I think that when you look at Roman Wilson, he's 5'11", he's 185, he is super competitive. And, you know, he was a major factor of Michigan winning a national championship. He made several huge plays in the Alabama playoff game to secure the victory. I was expecting a much smaller guy, 5'11", 185. He looks like he's got some thickness to him. And the majority of his damage is done from the slot. We saw what Puka Nacua did with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of player right here. Same type of guy that everything inside, contested, run, finds ways to finish, always playing on the move, super reliable. Roman Wilson is a guy that if you're a team, I don't think the Cowboys are going to draft Roman Wilson. But when he gets picked, I will acknowledge that the fact that that team drafted a really good football player.
I think I brought it up where he reminds me of like a Hines Ward because he blocks.
He's tough.
Much faster, but he looks like a Pittsburgh Steeler type of receiver to me.
Yeah.
Roman Wilson's absolutely outstanding.
That's good. Like because to your point, Brian, when you look at the weight and the height, you think that he looks like some small guy. But when you actually watch the tape, he is like a little bit more filled out, if that's what you're looking for. But I do think he got some Tyler Lockett in him as well.
Reliability.
Well, I tell you, look at you. That's a good
speed.
One. That is a good one. Yeah.
And I think I just like the swag that he has when he plays. He's very it's controlled speed too. He's fast because we see some guys that are too fast for their own good.
Yeah.
No, he plays very under control and he's very QB friendly. And I to Brian's point, you can move him into the slot and that's where he's going to cook. We've seen what offenses are doing from that spot on the field. He's a guy, and it's funny because
Lockett
I think
is a much better comparison.
Yeah, I think he's good. Another guy that. People just haven't been like I remember we talked about him on the show early, and then I think it's because he's a little yiddle too, you know, because
he's short.
This,
yeah.
I wrote down this is one of the smaller receivers in this draft, and you know, I think we're kind of turning back the clock now with some of these bigger size guys.
No doubt
I like him too, y'all.
Okay, Nick,
yeah,
we got this question from Tim B.
How
would you feel about drafting a Barton or a Jackson Powers Johnson round one?
Good.
Then you follow it up with, say, a Cooper Beebe in round two. He's seen a lot of center tackle scenarios discussed, not as much center guard early on.
That's an interesting – so this is Beebe in the second round.
This would be Beebe in the second round. So, you know, you come away with your center in Barton or Jackson Powers Johnson, and then you just beef up that interior.
Yeah, I had someone ask me about drafting Barton and then moving him to tackle and then putting Frazier and then drafting Frazier.
So you draft center?
Yeah, you draft Barton and Frazier, but you play Barton at tackle.
Not at guard?
Not at guard.
Interesting.
Do you like Barton at tackle?
I think I like him – like my preference.
That's what the question was. The guy asked me, would you play him at tackle? You know, and
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. I think my preference there would be center guard than tackle. But also, if Graham Barton is the pick, I would like to see what he does at guard during training camp. But going back to the question originally, if they draft Barton Beebe, we're going to have to hold you down.
Yeah. Those are two of my favorites.
I wouldn't love – I think Beebe at 56 is a little bit of a reach. I'm sorry, Zach.
Okay.
I think – they still would need to go get a linebacker. I want to see that.
Could you get him at 87?
I think you could.
Okay.
Thank you. But I'm willing to take that risk.
Maybe we get a
I just
Trevor
saw,
Wallace.
I just saw how committed you were, and you're committed.
Yeah.
That's because if you were to go, well, I don't know, then the next thing I would say to you is we got to draft him at 56 then.
Yeah, but I think you could still get a guy at 87 if you want a draft guard. If you want to go and get – let's say an Isaiah Adams from Illinois or a Christian Haynes from Connecticut.
Mahogany
Boston College.
By the way, some general manager dudes are asking me about Mahogany. What do we think about
that's
him?
That's center guard flex as well. Should we talk about him a little bit more at center, you think?
I don't think we've talked about him near enough. I know Aisha knows the player, but, I mean, to me, you watch him play. He is going to make somebody – I was talking about Roman Wilson. That guy is going to make somebody look smart.
You know, Mahogany was great at the Shrine Bowl here.
Yeah, he was.
In Frisco.
I think he turned
a lot of heads. Yeah, he did. I mean, that's a physical, mean, nasty type offensive lineman as well that's really, really good.
I wanted to on Christian – I did an interview with him, and I asked him about the interior flex. Well, a lot of people don't know he was a former DT. Like, he played DT, and he's only been playing football for, I don't know, since his junior year of high school or something like that. It wasn't a all-my-life thing. But he has commented that he's open to moving in the interior. But I wanted to ask y'all a question because I listened to y'all talk about Cooper Beebe. are we at a point to where the versatility thing with tackles coming in and people being like, I think some tackles are preparing more to be able to even kick into guard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that hurting the true guards because of the versatility? And I'm only asking that because we talked about Cooper Beebe early in this process. I wanted to draft him so bad. I mentioned him last year and he was returning to school.
Yeah.
Are we at a point to where, like, some of these guys that are the true, like, truly, yes. I've been a guard. That's, yes. Okay.
Because the tackle's more athletic.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you're getting Morgan from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, I think he could play tackle. People want to kick him inside. I had a scout that does the Southeast tell me Latham will be an all-pro guard. He's a tackle right now. So the guys that are true guards, you know, yeah, I think that the fact that people are more willing to kick those tackles inside, I think hurts the true guard.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. You look at the versatility factor. Let's just look at this franchise alone, how they like to really prioritize guys that have versatility in any position. I think if you have two guys on the same level that you have graded the same, but one can do other things in other positions, you take that guy. And obviously that's going to be a plus more often than not. Yeah, I think there's some truth in the sense that it might be affecting the guard class. Because you look at the top of the true guard board, you have Christian Haynes and Christian Mahogany, who you could argue are, you know, could play some center as well. Cooper Beebe's in that discussion. But then if you start factoring in the tackles that can play guard, then you start factoring in guys like...
It's kicking them down.
Yeah.
Like a Troy Faltanu, Jordan Morgan.
It's kicking them down.
Kingsley Matai, J.C. Latham. So
everybody you named, you might want a little more.
I mean, Fuag out of Oregon State, I think there's some people that would consider playing him at guard as well.
Yeah.
Poor guards.
Yeah.
Okay. They just trying to do their job. They're like, I just been playing guard since I was in high school, and y'all go sit up here and skip me because this guy can do it too. I don't know. I just was listening to y'all, and I just was like, dang, Cooper Beebe.
It's also a sense that, like, Cooper Beebe was, with all due respect, was never a first-round grade.
What is Nick trying to do over here?
I'm not standing for this, I got to deal with you and Bobby.
This is ridiculous.
All the guy does is just put people on their rear.
I don't think he was ever, like, a first-round grade type guy. Like, if you were looking at, let's say, let's look at Isaiah Adams, for example, who has, who's probably had more tackle context coming into the draft process than at guard, but is now having a little bit more versatility as a guard. I only compare him and BB because those are both third round guys in my stack. Then you would probably disrespect.
They're not even on the same tier. Get out of here, Nick.
Then there's probably maybe a little bit more intrigue in Isaiah Adams, but also you look at the ability that Cooper Beebe still has in the interior. I think that's a little bit more of an apples-to-apples comparison than comparing, you know, what Cooper Beebe does straight up at guard versus these first-round guys like a J.C. Latham or Jordan Morgan. But that's neither here nor there. I think these guards, there are going to be a couple that really excel at the next level. I've banged on the table for Christian Haynes. I do think Cooper Beebe will be a great player. I do.
Thank you.
He just needs a little bit of time. I think Isaiah Adams has the potential to be a good player as well. But you look at the tackle board as well, guys that can slide inside, there's a lot to love there too.
Poor guards.
I know. I do like Adams too as a guard, moving out from tackle.
I think he played wherever Illinois needed him.
He did.
I think there were games where you could watch him play tackle and all of a sudden he's playing guard. And it may be because of an injury.
Injuries.
During the game.
Yeah.
He did play.
I definitely thought he was better at guard. I thought that sometimes his base could get a little wide.
I didn't love him at tackle.
You
see the power really translate well when you kick him inside.
Yeah, and then I think he has good short area quickness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he has
the athletic range.
There you go.
The range.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to last
small
one.
Small area blocker.
Yes. Playing a phone booth there. Josh Weaver. You trade back to 30 with Baltimore. This is what we've talked about, Brian, with Baltimore. Barton is off the board. He goes 21 to Miami. Only Guyton is left at the top tier of offensive tackles. Morgan, Frazier, and Suamataia are all available. Who do you take and why?
Well, okay. Do it for the Cowboys.
Yeah, this is specifically for the Cowboys.
Do it for the Cowboys. Would you take the BYU kid?
I'd be taking Jordan Morgan here.
That's right. I would too. Okay, so now go ahead. Now take who Dallas would take.
Would you take JPJ over Morgan? if he were there? Or would Morgan be your guy?
Man, the more this draft process goes on, the more confidence I lose in JPJ. So I'd probably be going Jordan Morgan.
Man.
Because you have experience, you have durability, you don't have a lot of medical concerns, you have versatility.
I like Jordan Morgan a lot.
I think you have a high floor guy that you can bring in.
Because I'm with you, Brian. I think he could actually play tackle.
I think he could play tackle, and I didn't move it. But if you said, okay, play guard, you know, I think, and then fine, if you're going to kick Tyler Smith outside, great. But I just think Morgan, I don't think people are giving, I'm not saying this show, I just don't think the scouting community is giving Morgan enough credit.
Yeah.
For how good of a player he really is.
It's hard. I think he's just another one of those guys that's just – he was a fun watch, but he was an easy watch because he's consistent in a lot of
ways. Super consistent. Yeah. Steady.
And I'm just starting to feel like we just continue to see that these guys that are not necessarily flashy but are very consistent are just not getting the talk. And I'm like, what are you looking for in offensive linemen?
Right. Right.
Consistency.
Sure.
And he has been one of the most consistent offensive linemen to me through this process. I know we talked about, I mentioned the other day, the combine, and maybe, I mean, but the testing numbers, of course, I mean, this dude, he got a little weight on him. We don't care about that. Like, it doesn't, to me, affect how he's able to wrestle and stay in front of guys and make sure he stays square. So I think somebody at the Draft 101 banged the table for him, and I was like, you know what?
Yeah, my guy Waldo.
I actually went back and looked at my notes. I went back and watched him a little bit more, and I was like, what are we doing here? Like, this kid can play.
They take the BYU kid, don't they?
They do. I think they do, but we may not do that.
I think they take Morgan.
Do you really?
I think they take Morgan.
Let me ask you guys, do you think
y'all nervous?
Just a swing and a miss by me. I thought you were going to say they were going to take the BYU
kid. I think they take Morgan.
There's been a lot of momentum with the BYU kid, but I've got Morgan graded higher. Do you guys?
Yes.
Suamati.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I think Morgan's
not
better.
Too
That's
much
why we
higher.
Do. Are we not paying enough attention to Zach Frazier, the West Virginia center, as we've talked about Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson? Is Frazier in play here more
you
than we
think? You guys take this because I'm
I know
that,
you like Frazier.
I'm driving along the moonshine trails in West Virginia talking about Frazier.
Okay, here's my only fear.
I'm driving. I'm running from the law talking about this guy. You know, and,
take me home.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's my only fear with Frazier. I think that the
Did
body
you watch
control.
The Texas game?
So the Texas game you point to, and this is the thing that I think you could say ease some of my fear.
Yeah,
but I think
he's blocking those animals. In front of
him. Let him get it out.
I worry at times outside of the Texas tape. Can he get overpowered a little bit, like you saw with the Tyler Biotis last year?
I will say one of the only things that I think about him is that I think he. I think he has – sometimes he relies on the fact that he can recover a little bit too much. And his core strength is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
His core strength
is
crazy.
And that's the wrestling That's the wrestling background.
And I think he, in his mind, sometimes is like, I mean, I can get there. And he can recover.
Because he moves so well in
he
space.
He does. And so I'll give you that. But
just sometimes, like, sometimes the anchor, I'm like, oh, man.
I think his grip strength.
But that's he sweat,
I do think his grip strength can improve as well.
Yeah.
A little bit. But other than that, though – former wrestler, he's dense.
Brian's like, kick that down the road. He's feeling like I do about BB. This is a disrespectful conversation.
The way he handles initial striking, I think he's a player as well. I think he's a player as well. Do we have any updates?
This cat's in the Pro Bowl. You guys can buy me dinner later.
I like him.
Hey, Tyler Biotis was in the Pro Bowl,
look,
too.
If you trade back in this scenario to 30.
You do too much.
He was. That's a good point, Nick, and I like
you
that rebuttal.
Make me sick.
If you slide back to 30, though, Brian, I think Frazier, I would be very open-minded.
I would be
selection.
Open to him. But I will say, is anybody, any updates on his, did you give me an update?
About his knee?
Might have. Yeah,
he broke his leg.
Yeah, broke his leg.
And then was competing
ankle.
At the combine, so you know the toughness there and the competitive level is there with that dude.
He ran at the Big 12 Pro Day. He did everything asked of him at the Pro Day, so it sounds like he's back
track.
Ready to go. I would think that a rookie camp or an OTA, he might be limited in some fashion, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's a full go too. So
he's the only one. That was the only thing about him. I had a lot of good things to say about him, but
oh, did you?
I had a lot of good
it's
things
not as
to say
glowing as
him.
Brian's notes. I'll
He's
tell
not
you that.
Gonna be perfect, Brian.
My notes are blinking.
No, I did. I
Brian's
a lot of
got him as the offensive
him.
Rookie of the year right now.
No, he got some pop to his game.
He
that,
does.
The leg thing was the only thing that I thought maybe would deter people.
Who was
people,
it you just talked about?
There
was somebody the Morgan and who that you said they weren't too far apart. Who was it that you just
Suamatia?
Yeah, Suamatia and Morgan.
Okay. Frazier and these center dudes are not. that far.
I agree.
They are closer than I think people are being talked about.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
I'm going to steal one of your lines there. He's a lot closer than you think.
He's just dramatic.
Okay.
Just on my stack here. I am dramatic. Morgan at 28.
Yeah. You got him right.
Frazier at 42. Kingsley at 37.
See, I have I have Kingsley at 42.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the other way. So, yeah.
That's interesting. It's going to be fun to see how all the boards stack up. All right. That was a good edition of Twitter on the 20. Let's kick around before the early break.
Settle down over there.
Some NFC East division rivals. We did get some questions about this, but are there some players that we would think, oh my gosh, now we're sick to our stomach? Cowboys got to play these cats twice a year. That's next year's The Draft Show rolls on.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
All right, let's look at some of the rest of the NFC East. Obviously, very Cowboys focused, but you've got, we've already talked a little bit about Philadelphia. At 22, maybe the Eagles get aggressive. Do they move up?
Drake May at 2.
Drake May, that would be a good thing, I think, for Brian. They're Washington at 2. Of course, the Giants at 6. Who are some players that we would think, gosh darn it, they hit, and now the Cowboys have to face these two dudes twice a year? Segment brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Brian, I think...
Neighbors or Dunze ends up at the Giants. I would hate that right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And like, I think Neighbors would be number one for me. That would be frustrating. They haven't actually had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2018 with Odell Beckham Jr. with the Giants. They are desperate for playmakers. That. The one thing that I could sell myself on, like, because I love a Dunze and Neighbors, is how are they getting the ball to them? What are they doing at quarterback? And is their offensive line any good? Yeah. So maybe as great as those receivers are, they might
Michael
be
Pratt.
Yeah, I'm with
second.
You. All right, let's do that. Let's go ahead and take Pratt. But is it just those two receivers? Would that be for the Giants? You're thinking, man, that's going to be a tough deal.
Yeah, that'd be super tough. I think whatever receiver they take at 6, I think that would scare Cowboys fans more than whatever quarterback is taken by Washington at 2. Mm-hmm. Just because, that's immediate playmaking ability, whether it's Neighbors, Adunze, or Harrison Jr., depending on who Arizona picks. That's going to be tough. You look around the division, Philly, as I mentioned, I think they can be aggressive and trade up and go get a really good corner, whether that be Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. I think there's an opportunity for them to do that. But if they stay at their pick, they could also be looking at, you know, guys like Cooper DeJean or Darius Robinson, potentially. They could also be in the defensive tackle market.
Not going to repeat what Aisha said in the break.
I'm going to let you go.
That was mainly it. And then Washington, and you got the quarterback.
You bring up Cooper DeJean, and maybe they stay there at 22. I kind of think Cooper DeJean is higher on some teams' boards than
that's
we're giving
I
him
said
credit
yes.
for, man.
That's what I said yesterday.
And do you think he's the third corner?
I think he might be the number one
over
corner
Wiggins
for some teams. I think he might be the top guy. I think he might be the number one guy. Now, I'm with
number
you,
number one corner overall on
overall.
People's
overall,
I think he could be
possible.
The number one safety. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I almost threw my pencil at you.
I'd play him at safety or corner. Yeah. I think he could play either. I do like when you look at his game and his ability to go sideline to sideline, the range. I think the instincts. I wouldn't mind playing him at safety whatsoever. But I'm not going to put it past him because he's a white guy that he can play corner.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to see that white man twice either.
I mean, for the Eagles, like I could kind of see Cooper DeJean as we're talking about it in a filthy uniform.
I mean, and you got to also think. Like the teams within your division are trying to figure out how to beat you.
Yeah.
Where do the Cowboys use CeeDee Lamb? They had not one corner that could deal with him last year.
Yeah.
I think Cooper DeJean could go in that, or Terrion Arnold could
I do love
line
Arnold.
Up and yeah.
Arnold's my number one corner.
Yeah, I mean, other teams, like people within our division, are trying to figure out how to stop your best offensive weapon, which is CeeDee Lamb. They might be looking for a corner that can man up. I know he's a safety. But still,
either way, they're desperate for safety help too. So that'd be a benefit for them if they want to play him.
For me, I mean, you already mentioned Darius Robinson. I'm not in the mood to deal with him. I ain't in the mood. But I do think that Philly could get saucy, and I'm only talking about Philly because I'm not saying I don't think about the other people.
But we kind of know Washington's probably going Jaden Daniels there, quarterback LSU.
Yeah,
they got a lot of weapons at the Commanders on that offense.
That would scare me. Jaden Daniels with Kingsbury and that offensive staff.
We saw what he did at LSU with a lot of weapons.
I forget about Kingsbury.
That could cause problems.
I don't want to have to see maybe a Chop Robinson going up against Terrence Steele twice a year.
Ooh, the speed.
Not in the mood. And again, it's not even just Terrence Steele. We don't even know who the left tackle is going to be for the Cowboys at this point. I think he could be a terror for our division if we have to deal with him. What is Washington? Didn't they get two? They got Fowler.
They
and
took every one of your players.
Yeah, they got Armstrong.
Yes,
they got
everyone that you did shows about all last year, they got on their
team.
The
Dallas Commanders, yeah.
Yeah, the Dallas Commanders.
Yeah, you know their team well.
That's exactly what they are. Beamer's got the Chop Robinson tape. Man,
I don't want to look at it.
Chop is such an...
He's off the line.
If he ends up being the best edge, it wouldn't surprise me. It's just the lack of finish with him frustrates me. Because he finds, I mean, he will blow up plays, but then he just doesn't end up finishing and making the tackle or making the sack. But he is a disruptive force off the edge of Chop Robinson.
I'll say the opposite of that, and not on Chop, but I'll say the opposite. Turner's that guy to me. Say this in a way that's the guy I really Dallas Turner. I have a chance to be way wrong about him.
He reminds me, I don't know which edge it was last year.
Because Braswell is playing better than him on some snaps.
I like Braswell.
Dallas Turner was very underwhelming for me, too.
I was bored.
Yeah.
You know who else I don't want to see? I ain't trying to have to see Marshawn Nealon out of Western Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, please.
In one of the
please.
Later rounds.
Nah, heck yeah. I'm not trying to deal with him. I mean,
he had some good ends.
Yeah. It's the athleticism is through the roof with him, but he's just his pursuit, the motor. And then he has these long strides to the QB, which he's like, it's kind of deceptive of how fast he's moving. He don't look like he's moving fast, but he's just covering a lot of ground.
Yeah.
He covers a lot of ground quickly.
Yeah.
And he's violent in how he plays. Like that temperament that you want from a defensive player that's just like the whole time, I'm not in the mood.
No, he's got a high motor. There's no question about that. I know we've talked about Nealon before, and I think you guys are a little bit higher on him.
But he can move across the line as well.
He can. You do see him play inside some, and that did stand out to me. Like I do like some of the versatility.
The Commanders have 6 picks in the top 100. They have 2 in the second, 3 in the third. This is a kind of wild one here, too. They will pick 8 times before the Cowboys will pick their 4th pick.
Please don't say that.
8 times?
8 times before the Cowboys will pick their 4th pick.
And they're really in the Commanders.
As it stands right now.
Oh, yeah, we talked about them. Granted, like, they sold their soul for like their edges to leave last year, and that really hurt them. But they've always been pretty good on the interior.
Yeah,
had some decent linebacker play. Obviously, we already know what the situation is there. We've talked about them on the offensive side of the ball for a long time.
Receivers,
that they have guys over there. They just need to put it together. They've just been lacking a quarterback. I do think that they could be a little bit better than maybe we would expect for them to be going.
I agree with you.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we all respect Dan Quinn.
I'm sure they're looking to try to turn some things around.
Are we going to, at the end of it, because of all the picks that the Commanders have, are we going to say they had a really good draft?
I mean,
that's always how that works.
It's
right?
Like the Rams last year.
Yeah.
But it's easier to have a really good draft when you have a million zillion picks.
Yeah. True.
They are in a place to where they are very much so replenishing more than. So, yeah, it could look good because Philly had a million. Didn't they have a whole bunch last year?
Yeah, last year we were saying, Philly did a good job.
And they were struggling
this
past year. You didn't see.
Get ready. I was trying to plant the seeds for
what's
going to happen post draft.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
This has been fun. We'll continue the conversation
tomorrow.
10 a.m. Let's do it. All right, we do have the Cowboys pressure coming up at the top of the hour. Thank you so much to Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus,
questions, Aisha.
Aisha Morrison, of course, Beamer, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Until tomorrow, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?